ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Israel, outraged families protested overnight after Israeli Defense Forces confirmed they accidentally killed three hostages. IDF spokesman Jonathan Conricus.
We misidentified hostages for enemy combatants and sadly shot them. That is what went wrong, and that is a mistake that happened in the heat of battle.
We now have a cause of death for Matthew Perry. The Los Angeles Medical Examiner says the actor died from the acute effects of the drug ketamine. The French star died October 28th. He was 54 years old. The Virginia mother of the six-year-old boy accused of shooting his first-grade teacher in class in a Newport News elementary school was sentenced on Friday to 2 years in prison for child neglect. Defamation verdict. Mayor Rudy Giuliani, former New York mayor, ordered to pay nearly $150 million to former Georgia election workers Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss after accusing the mother and daughter of election fraud. This is ABC News. The mother of that six-year-old who shot his teacher will now spend even more time in prison. ABC's Andy Field explains.
First, a federal court sent Deja Taylor to nearly 2 years in prison on gun charges after her six-year-old shot and wounded his teacher in Virginia. Now a state court has added another 2 years to her sentence for felony child neglect. Taylor's son told police he got his mother's 9mm handgun by climbing on top of her dresser where she kept the weapon in her purse. He then took the gun to school in his backpack and shot and wounded his teacher in front of her first-grade class.
Both Russia and Ukraine are reporting dozens of attempted drone attacks in the past day. Ukraine's Air Force saying that today, Ukrainian air defense had shot down 30 out of 31 drones launched overnight against 11 regions of the country. Russia also said that it had thwarted a series of Ukrainian drone attacks with Russian anti-aircraft units destroying 32 Ukrainian drones over the Crimean Peninsula. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Buggyhout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is coming back to Wisconsin. The White House says the president will be in Milwaukee on Wednesday to talk about his initiatives to help small businesses. It'll be Biden's third visit to Wisconsin this year, and it's a sign of how important Wisconsin is in next year's presidential race. Biden leads Donald Trump 50-48 in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette poll. It could cost as much as $1 billion to replace all lead water lines throughout the state of Wisconsin. That's according to new estimates from the State Department of Natural Resources. There are around 150,000 lead service pipes throughout the state and another 229,000 that may have connections made out of lead. While the state did get federal funding to offset the cost, that federal money is only enough to replace around 95,000 lines. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
A.J. Dillon unlikely to play. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A.J. Dillon has been the Packers' best running back this season, but we've learned on one of the last plays of the game Monday in New York, Dillon's right hand was crushed by a helmet. He now has a broken right thumb. Aaron Jones has been out a month with an MCL sprain. Is he ready yet?
I'm feeling a lot better. Got to move around today in practice and making great strides, so I'm going to take it day by day, but I feel I'm confident.
Wisconsin's volleyball team team is coming home. They lost in the semifinals last night in Tampa, 3-1 to the Texas Longhorns, who advanced to the finals against Nebraska on Sunday. The Badgers men's basketball team able to get another win at home, this time 75-60 over Jacksonville State. Wisconsin now 8-3. They return to the Kohl Center next Friday night against Chicago State. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
We are going to have to really work to get things offensively because they're a good defensive team.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, rain showers, a high near 40 degrees, and breezy as well. Southeast winds up to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, clouds and 29. Cloudy skies for Sunday. Highs around 35. Still breezy. And breezy for Monday. Mostly sunny with a high of 21.
Right now, it's 37.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Okay.
December 16th, 2023. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, cover boy Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the Walk Radio Studios in the old NAMI building at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yellman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And this morning's guests represent the second of three generations that I know of who are part of the Waukesha South sports tradition. Older brother Billy is currently the boys varsity soccer coach who has put together a winning tradition there. And is also a phys ed teacher, and as a student, he starred in soccer and basketball before embarking, continuing that successful career at Ripon College in both sports. Billy returned to his hometown to coach boys varsity basketball before handing over the reins to Bo Richter, and was also an assistant basketball coach at Carroll University. And then younger brother Julian, excuse me as I scroll down on my notes here,
who's unemployed currently.
Julian was, and this I just found out, the Associated Press Basketball Player of the Year in 1999, his senior year, when he led the Blackshirts to a conference championship, I believe, and a regional final appearance. He's considered the greatest basketball player in South history, perhaps all of Waukesha High School basketball history, and still owns, you know, more than 20 years later, the scoring and rebounding records. And then he was a member, as a member of Dick Bennett's Wisconsin Badger team that went to the Final Four, and he's coached with some major basketball programs as an assistant at Memphis and at Georgia Tech. He also has a master's and a bachelor's in bachelor's in psychology from Carroll, where he finished, and a master's in school counseling from Marquette, and has also forged a great career as a counselor. And Julian, I didn't share this with you, but I'm a Spartan, so I remember that 2000 Flintstone
beat us
team
four times. Yeah,
but I remember.
I still think that's one of the all-time great NCAA teams. You know, you look.
I agree.
The just because they, you know, the way the landscape has gone now with the players being so much younger and so forth. You look that was just an old veteran team. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, beat us four times that year.
Mateen Cleaves, and I remember in that Final Four game,
the score at halftime was like 20-4. It was a real defensive battle.
Yeah.
It was a really low scoring. And I think that was Coach Bennett's strategy against this high flying Michigan State team. And so that had to be a pretty exciting experience. Not many people get to go to a Final Four.
Yeah, it was neat. That whole ride was
sure.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Sure. So, but back to the present day and switching gears to Billy, because we didn't have a chance to meet about another great soccer season. Tell us how the boys finished.
Well, we had another winning season. That's three winning seasons in a row overall. And we had back-to-back winning seasons in the Classic Eight. It was a great year to follow what was arguably one of our best years a year ago.
Right. You went to the regional final, correct?
We did win the regional final, went to sectionals.
Okay.
That's how you say it. You lost to Marquette. You know, they're sure. Number one historically every year.
Yeah.
Top five for sure in the state.
Sure.
And so, you know, to follow that up, the crazy stat this year is we had two wins, zero losses, and six ties in the Classic Eight.
Wow.
So I think we finished fourth or fifth, but we had zero losses. And there's some coaches that we met at the all-conference meeting. Yeah. And I asked John Bizworm from CMH, who started CMH's boys soccer program in the late 70s, I believe.
Really?
He's still the coach, and he said he's never seen anything like it. So,
wow.
The guys bought in. Guys were great.
Because we
just didn't know what to expect this year.
Sure.
Following last year's team, and graduated a lot of seniors a year ago.
And without your All-State goalkeeper, Charlie Merlos, right?
Charlie decided to play in the MLS next team. He was All-State. He was keeper of the year in the conference as a junior. And so he chose to play at the club level. And so we had to find a keeper and kind of rebuild in the back a little bit. We changed our formation this year. Hmm. Had to play a little bit more defensive, which probably led to all the ties. But at the end of the day, we got, you know, three winning seasons in a row overall and back-to-back Classic Eight winning seasons. So
sure.
It's been great.
Terrific. Hey, and I forgot, and I apologize to mention our faithful producer, Anastasia. Welcome, Anya.
Morning. How are you?
Just great. Always glad that you're here and for everything you do, not only for my show, but for many great shows, including Maggie Dawn that appears. That's 6 to 7, Monday through Friday, correct?
Yep, that's right.
So, yeah, and later on in the show, Pete Schwabel will be calling in, a new personality to Civic Media, and he's also on WAUK Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., and his show is my show is pretty much about all things Waukesha. Pete's show is about all things Wisconsin. So we're looking forward to Pete's call. I believe it's later on this hour. And great guy from Marinette. Small world. I used to work with his sister, Julie, when I lived down in Evanston, Illinois, back in the roaring 90s. So it's great to reconnect with the Schwabe family. And so basketball scores last night. South had lost to OCon. I think they think they're Icons out there. Now, that was a 12-point loss. I didn't get a final score. I was
83-71, I believe.
83-71.
Yeah. I didn't go to the game, but yeah.
Thanks, Julie. And then West had lost to Maguanago 68-48, so a tough loss for them. And then our game of the week last night, Waukesha North had lost to Kettle Moraine 76-43. Patrick still led the North Stars with 19 points, and the score betrays what a great game it was for most of the game. It was there were double-digit lead changes in the first half.
Hmm.
Really great back and forth. And then it was an 8-point KM lead at halftime, but in the second half, North had scratched their way back to like a 4-point deficit. You know, it was still a game, and because KM could go deeper into their bench. I mean, there are guys 7 or 8 or 9 in the lineup that could start for a lot of other teams. And so I think it was just really a war of attrition. But, unfortunately, like as has been the experience for South, you know, a lot of Classic Eight games, you know, the wheels come off, you know, much earlier in football, of course, because of the depth of talent in these other schools. So, but last night we had the honor of having the varsity football coach at North, Vince Ciano, on in the pregame along with athletic director Kyle Anderson, and they're excited to be playing in the Parkland Conference next season, more equitable, you know, playing field. And then also, Carl Anderson has been working with South's athletic director, Dan Schreier, and things are looking really good for the rest of the athletic program to move over into the Woodland Conference. So same thing. It's I guess that all used to be one conference, Parkland and Woodland, like all those teams. But the demographics, you know, the resources, they all match up. They align much better with North and South versus, like, you know, I always compare North and South playing in the Classic Eight for football, like Whitewater trying to play in the Big Ten.
So. Yeah, a couple things on that. Just coaching basketball and soccer here in the last 20-some years, coming back, built a lot of relationships with coaches that are still coaching. Jeff Stallis at Arrowhead on the soccer side and Craig Hazy on the basketball side, and, you know, the list goes on. So personally, I'm going to miss the Classic Eight, but what our athletic director, Dan Schreier, has done at some of our coaches' meetings is he showed us where all of our sports have record-wise what we've done the last 10 years
right
on a spreadsheet.
Sure, sure.
And him and I had a conversation, you know, look at this spreadsheet when we start the Woodland Conference for all sports. Let's look back, you know, let's 10 years, and let's look back at that. And the colors that are coded with wins, losses, and ties is going to completely change.
Yeah.
And so it's sad to, you know, personally, you know, being a lifelong black shirt in this community and playing in competitive conferences, going all the way back.
Yeah.
And coaching in these competitive conferences.
Right.
You know, it's a no-brainer.
It really is.
You know, for North and
it'll encourage more kids to participate.
Right. Right.
In sports. So. Which I think will be great. So just a lot of positives. So, so switching back to Julian, in addition to your success on the court, you also had a 4.15 GPA at Waukesha South. And perhaps, like I said, as we discussed before the show, probably one of your greatest achievements has been your successful battle over mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. Nothing any kid dreams of. And I know this from my own family's experiences. And, again, I want to say it really meant a lot to me, having a mental health history in my family, that someone like yourself had come out very publicly about your struggles, how you overcame them, and even pursued academic, you know, your professional career in counseling.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, first off, when I was joking, obviously, when I said unemployed, but it actually is true. I decided I'd been gone 11 years. Like you said, I coached 4 at Memphis and then the last 7 at Georgia Tech. My boss, who's just awesome, we got let go in the spring of the year. There was an AD change. And like I said, the culture, the landscape of college with NIL, portal, everything. And essentially he just kind of came in and he wanted his own guy. And it was very easy to see. I thought I would struggle with that. Been very, very proud just to how I've handled that. And I knew right away I could take the advantage of I'm still single, no kids. Put a little plug in there. I don't know if there's any single anybody at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. 844-967-2789.
I'm a very eligible bachelor.
Yes, very much
so. Has a master's degree.
on a Saturday morning at 7. But took advantage. Honestly, in all reality, though, been really, really lucky and fortunate to be able to take almost like a sabbatical year. And I wanted to really invest in spending a lot of time with my parents and doing some things that I haven't been able to do in the last 11 years, being gone and so forth. And anyway, just really grateful, appreciative. Just one of, you know, I've just had a lot of great experiences. One of these being on the show, watching, we talked about Billy. I got to watch his whole soccer season.
Awesome.
I coached the South varsity team. We talked about them with my dad all summer and fall.
Fantastic.
So I've had a fun year and
good. When we come back from these important community messages, more with the Swartz brothers and Julian's up success in many ways and Billy's and the Carroll Minute will be coming up soon too. So don't go away as this week Waukesha continues on WAUK 101 FM 540 AM.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPTUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZ is the Shaw, WAUK.
In the drunk tank, an old man said to me, "Won't see another one." And then he sang a song. The rare old mountain.
Hey, we're back listening to Waukesha. And I can't play this song enough this holiday season. It's the Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues. And be our first Christmas without Shane McGowan, who recently passed away. And this song was performed at his funeral with Glenn Hansard and a collection of other artists. And if you're into the Pogues or you're into any type of, if you like rock and roll, I highly encourage, actually, and this is going to sound strange, but I'm Irish, watch Shane McGowan's funeral. And because it's like a concert, it's just a great musical celebration of the guy's life. And I just learned that the Catholic Church was very upset about the way the funeral was organized and said it was very inappropriate. But that's, you know, Shane McGowan wanted to be buried. He was a Catholic, and in spite of his many, his own bouts with alcoholism and other struggles, that's how he wanted to be buried. He was buried with one of his favorite LPs, which was the first LP I had ever bought, and I'm showing my age here, was that Led Zeppelin 2, and a DVD of The Godfather, among other relics. So I thought that was because he loved movies. So we continue to celebrate him here. It's for me, Don Brown, it's Shane's world. We just live in it. But actually, here in Waukesha, some would say it's the Swartz's world.
No.
So. But it's neat. Three generations in one school. Your dad had coached here. At halftime, I had Al Alt on my show, who coached a lot of different sports around the same time. His daughter played for your dad when he was coaching at North. And so it's just neat that you have this continuity of families that are part of the Waukesha community. Last week we had, when I announced you guys were coming in the show, the woman's last name was Pew, and she said, "My family's been in Waukesha South for three generations too." And I said, "Oh, we should have you on the show." And she says, "Well, my granddaughter Meredith Marks was on the show last week, promoting the South program." And
Pew's a great family.
Yeah, and you know, and it says a lot about this community that you have people that choose to stay here and build their lives here, as the Schwartz family has, and even to come back like you have. That Waukesha's still a very special place. So, care to comment on that?
Yeah, no. Very much so. And like I was saying, just grateful and appreciative as I look up just kind of the, you know, WAUK, a week in Waukesha. It's just, you know, been gone 11 years, and it's really, it's cool to be back. And just have been enjoying just a lot of different unique experiences. One like this, like I said, got to watch Billy. Billy can really, really coach.
Sure.
Their soccer team was incredibly fun to watch. They're inspirational. I say I'm just taking the year and staying with my parents, and it's incredible watching their players. They sneak onto that soccer field over across the street, and it's unbelievable. I mean, there's a reason why they've been so successful. Those guys just play, and it's been really, really neat to see. And speaking with my dad, probably the coolest thing I've gotten to do, I coach Richter this summer, and I got my dad to sit on the bench with me, and we coached the South Varsity for 23 games in the summer, and then sure. and then 10 games in the fall. And just to do that with my dad was extremely special, and then be able to coach Billy's son, who's hurt right now, Morgan, who very, very close with. So anyway, that's kind of, what I've been up to.
Yeah, that's terrific, and it's great to be able to reconnect with family mm-hmm. here. And I want to switch gears with here and just go right into the Carroll Minute. Speaking of basketball, and I know Swartz Brothers will appreciate this, one day after earning the CCIW Women's Basketball Student Athlete of the Week honors, Carroll guard Olivia Rangel earned a spot on the D3Hoops.com Team of the Week, basically the National Team of the Week. And I had the honor of broadcasting. The Pioneer women's team has won their last two games, a commanding 24-point victory over North Park. But then last Saturday, they beat number one team in the conference, number nine in the nation, undefeated Milliken, who arguably they have the player of the year on their team, a senior named Elise Knudsen, amazing player. And Olivia scored 30 points in that game. And again, it went into overtime. It was just really exciting. And with 1.7 seconds left in the game after a missed Milliken shot, all Carroll had to do was inbound, make sure there were no. And they're inbounding it from that same spot where Isaiah Thomas threw the ball and Larry Bird stole it. And then went that playoff game. So I was like, oh, God, don't. Whatever you do, throw it the other way. Deep. Throw it deep. They found Olivia Rangel about near half court, right where I was broadcasting, and in front of the university president, Dr. Cindy Nattinger, who's been a huge, one of the big reasons the Carroll Athletic Program has really picked it up a few gears in recent years. And after Rangel caught the ball and let the clock run out, you know, everyone was standing and clapping, including the president, and she was standing as close to Olivia as Billy is to me, and Olivia handed her the ball, like giving her the game ball. It was such a cool moment, and very impromptu, too. Just a really classy thing from this junior from Franklin. That's one of many stars in this.
She pulled the Giannis, got her the ball.
Yeah.
Somebody had 50 last night, Jalen Brunson.
Wow.
Nixon, and one of the players, it was funny, kind of made a spark of that and went and grabbed it and made sure he got it. You know, just kind of trolling Giannis a little bit.
I love it. Oh,
it was funny the other night.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and so The Student Athlete of the Week award, that was Rangel's second and only 5 weeks into this season. So I thought that was a terrific, it's just a great honor for this growing team that's 7-3-1. As Billy was saying, Lindsay Schultz has done a great job coaching that program there and building it up to its recent successes.
Knowing Lindsay, long time, and I was on the men's side from 13 to 19.
That's what I was going to ask you, too, because you guys, both of you have a connection to Carroll.
He's a Ripon grad.
That's right.
And I'm a Carroll grad. And,
that's right.
Yeah, it's funny. But then he came over to the good side. And I love Ripon. I was like my second town growing up watching Billy. So
yeah. No, one of my favorite athletes is a Ripon graduate named Lane Barnes, who's playing pro ball in Germany. And he's had a lot. I had the fortune of working with him a few years ago. And it's great to see him continuing his professional career and really enjoy. And in Germany, of all places, how fun is that?
So, yeah. I'll tell you what, D3, make a plug for D3.
Yeah.
I mean, spending 5 years of my college career playing three sports at Ripon, and then I spent 2 years as an assistant men's basketball coach right out of college, and I was at soccer as well, and then spending 6 years at Carroll here recently as an assistant. D3 sports across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yes, you're paying to play, and it's probably, you know, the most pure there still is.
I call it the authentic college sports experience.
And
yep.
You watched that Division III national championship football game last
night.
North Central. They're in Carroll's conference.
My regrets to John Stillman. I know he's still probably very heartbroken.
Yeah, he's a
38-37.
Yeah, he's a proud North Central.
It sure is. Yeah, had a great
alum. And you know, D3 sports though is so pure, and it's so good. And people have no idea. High school kids have no idea how good you got to be to play.
Yep, absolutely. That's very true. When we come back from these important messages, more with the Swartz brothers on their triumphs and tribulations, as well as some other local news, especially Christmas shopping. So don't go away. Plenty more to unwrap here on This Week in Waukesha.
find someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Israel, outraged families protested overnight after Israeli Defense Forces confirmed they accidentally killed three hostages. IDF spokesman Jonathan Conricus.
We misidentified hostages for enemy combatants and sadly shot them. That is what went wrong, and that is a mistake that happened in the heat of battle.
We now have a cause of death for Matthew Perry. The Los Angeles Medical Examiner says the actor died from the acute effects of the drug ketamine. The French star died October 28th. He was 54 years old. The Virginia mother of the six-year-old boy accused of shooting his first grade teacher in class in a Newport News elementary school was sentenced on Friday to 2 years in prison for child neglect. Defamation verdict. Mayor Rudy Giuliani, former New York mayor, ordered to pay nearly $150 million to former Georgia election workers Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss after accusing the mother and daughter of election fraud. This is ABC News.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrace Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, rain showers, a high near 40 degrees, and breezy as well. Southeast winds up to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, clouds and 29. Cloudy skies for Sunday. Highs around 35. Still breezy. And breezy for Monday, mostly sunny with a high of 21.
Right now, it's 37.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Todd Alba Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed. I'm flabbergasted. I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles. Those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now, if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Come on!
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We can watch on WAUK 101.1 FM 540 AM, the Shaw. And I'm your host, Don Brown, with the Swartz Brothers. And you're listening to Sinead O'Connor with Shane McGowan doing one of the lesser-known great love songs called Haunted. And so, I'll make sure you get a link to that, Julian. Julian likes it. That was a great song. And we also lost Sinead O'Connor earlier this year, so it's a nice little ode to both of them. Great. Wow, brilliant artist.
Sounds like good napping music.
Right there. Yeah. There you go. So, hey, Anya, I think now would be a good time to play that that speech again at the 1805 mark, please. And I'll tell you when to stop and see if the Swartz boys know it.
The youngest member of my family, Joseph, is. And this is a dedicated trophy that a lot.
Whoop, we keep bouncing it out. That's okay. I think we got enough. I think enough of that.
My family, here we go. Joseph is very ill. He has leukemia. And if I could dedicate this trophy to him tonight and give him a couple days of happiness, this is worth everything.
Thanks. Do you guys know what that was? 50 years ago this week, December 13th, 1973.
Sports related?
Definitely sports related.
Joe.
It took place in 1973. It took place in New York City, this moment, a trophy acceptance speech. That might give it away right there.
Would that be the Heisman?
The Heisman Trophy Award presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And
Joe Namath?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Namath. But it was Pennsylvania where Namath's from. It was Penn State's only Heisman Trophy winner, John Cappelletti.
Yeah, no way it was.
And at this presentation, he dedicated the trophy to his younger brother, Joey, who was battling with leukemia.
Oh, wow.
They made a movie for television about it like a couple years later that I remember my mom had us watch all of these shows, like Brian Song and Eric and mm-hmm. some, because I'd lost a brother to leukemia before I was born. And that moment, it really surprised and disappointed me that nobody in sports media had really reflected on that moment, that even in the Heisman Trophy presentation last week, there was no reference to it at all. And that was one of the most inspiring moments in 20th century American sports history. I mean, that to me is up there with the U.S. Olympic hockey team beating the Soviet Union in 1980. And again, I guess it's personal for me, but still very surprising. And I also wonder, too, if Penn State's hesitant to really celebrate that or honor that in light of the Jerry Sandusky scandal that happened many years later. I wrote a blog about this too, and I think it's something that the university and now their Big Ten school that they should embrace, that really all these collegiate sports writers and teams, and even in civic media, my own, this, I was kind of disappointed that with this very deep bench of great sports reporting professionals that no one had really commented on it or mentioned it on any of their shows. And it's a good lead-in, because what made that moment special, too, for a family like ours is when Cappelletti did that, he made something very public that a lot of families chose to be very private about. Mm-hmm. And he made it okay to talk about cancer and leukemia, and especially back then, the research hadn't really come to where the point that. And so moments like that had led to more research and more progress. And it's actually, again, it's, you know, when you were diagnosed with leukemia in the 60s and even the early 70s, it was a death sentence. But today there's, you know, there's higher percentage of kids and adults that that live with it, that survive it. And which is a great lead into, you know, your own personal struggles, Julie, in that you were very public about your mental health struggles. Mm-hmm. And how you had fought to overcome them. And it's really kind of you to talk more about this here on the show this morning.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm 43 now, and, you know, looking back, I think one of the things most proud of is just how, you know, how open that I was at a time. And again, late 90s, early 2000s, you know, the stereotype, and just not the education, the awareness, the acceptance, and so forth. It just wasn't thing that was really talked about. You know, it was if you, there were struggles and things, it was more physical dominated. Mental health, as we know it, really wasn't at the forefront. And so just kind of looking back, listen, at the time, honestly, when I was open and honest through a lot of different outlets, whether it be the media who kind of picked up on it. I did a lot of speaking. I spoke probably at every different venue and audience and so forth. Did a lot of teaching of it as well. But at that time for me, I wish I would have maybe had better therapy. I don't know that I necessarily, the core of what I was going through was maybe getting addressed from a professional standpoint. At that time, it was kind of like I took the lead in trying to do it myself, and thought at that time trying to help other people ultimately was the best form of therapy. Looking back, I don't know if that was, but my heart was in the right place. You know, I did that just to, like I said, just to try to help other people. And I think God really took it. If you would, you know, see this kind of the stories and the stuff that I've received, and it's pretty incredible. And I think God kind of took it. And like I said, looking back now, something that really just proud of is, I mean, you look at where mental health is now. I mean, even the words mental health,
right?
I mean,
behavioral health.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And just like I had OCD. OCD now is like, they use it as an adjective. I mean, people back in the 20 years ago, what's OCD?
What's that?
You know? And so it's just come, it's really come full circle. I've got some incredible stories. And so just being able to, again, I did it to ultimately, I thought it was helping myself. And I think the biggest thing, and something I'm very proud of is to this day, just never was embarrassed. Never was embarrassed, never was ashamed. And I was just very open and honest. And I thought if it could help somebody else, you know, great. And it's just really cool to see where things have come.
Yeah,
you know,
it really
especially
is.
Professionally. Yeah. You know, you get all these celebrities in that. And let me just say this too, in coaching, you know, because I've coached at the youth level, I've coached at the high school level, coached at the high major level, college level. Mm-hmm. And it is, I mean, it is so needed.
Yeah. Good mental health. We all could use it.
It's incredible.
Needs to be more affordable for sure.
And you look like I love the Ohio State football coach. I mean, I think he's got four full-time professionals, you know, at that level. And I think it could be used more so, you know, even at the high school level, youth level. So, I just think it's important. It's valuable. It's critical, you know, and just happy to see where that's all come.
Yeah. And again, I want to use this platform to thank you, because you and your family have made this okay for other people dealing with it to come out. You know, it's okay because it's like any other disease, you know, cancer or an injury or COVID or the flu, that it shouldn't be this stigmatized. It should be something that the more public you are about it, I think the greater your chances for getting the help that you need.
Right. Exactly.
So, especially in this holiday season too, which there's a lot of people that, you know,
it can be
a very lonely seasonal time for many people.
Even being back, I mean, listen, I've been 11 years in a warmer weather climate, and even kind of transitioning back has been, and obviously, you know, you talk about depression, and there are a lot of different disorders and mental illness that correlate with just kind of seasonal and definitely probably around here. Just this kind of, you know, it's been, it's opened my eyes a little bit. Like you just, you forget about how dark it gets early and how cold and just, you know, I mean, it can, these dog days are, it's not easy.
Right, right. That's true. Yeah. So, and that's what, you know, one of the things one of my family members observed in his travels that like the people he thought that were the most charismatic were people that grew up kind of in the broader Midwest here with a lot of cloudy days and not necessarily great weather. Cause you, in a lot of ways you had to invent your own fun. You didn't have a beach to go to. You didn't have, you know, a sunny diamond on a beach. I was just waiting for you and your friends to play like in January here or those things. And so in a lot of ways, I think there's a lot of creativity, a lot of great athletes, a lot of great, you know, scholars and come out of this region of the country for that very reason that you have to kind of take the vacation inside your head or you know, kind of create your own fun. So, and then I know the Swartz families have, Swartz family has for many generations here in Waukesha. Tell us about, and Anya, do we have a caller? Yes, we do. Sorry about that. Who's our caller?
We have the one and only Pete Schwaba on the line.
Pete Schwaba. Okay, we're going to switch another Wisconsin native who's come home, like Julian Swartz. Pete, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good, Don. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for your patience. Pete Schwaba, I was telling you about from the Marinette Schwabas, has a new show on WAUK and in other stations in the civic media stratosphere called Nightlight. It's from 8 to 10. And after I was broadcasting the North KM game last night, Pete, I caught the tail end of your show. And it was great. There was a guy, I forget, the last name's Anderson. What was his first name?
Oh, Frank Anderson. He's great. Yeah, he founded the website, Wisconsinology.com. Great website.
And if you want some great Wisconsin lore, I highly recommend it. I was reading this morning about a music genre unique to Wisconsin called Polkabilly, which I thought was really neat. Yeah, yeah. So
I was not aware of that, but I will say this, Don. Last night, we talked about 10 Chimneys, which is in Waukesha County, I believe.
Yeah, and it's a former actress, right?
Like, with Frank.
Yeah, it's off there, like, off of 83.
Yeah.
And up there in the Kettamarine area.
And, who was the actress that owned it?
Joan Fontaine. I think it was Joan Fontaine. Yeah. Yeah, and they hosted Laurence Olivier and Katharine Hepburn. It was like a revolving door of big Broadway stars that would come to Southeast Wisconsin and stay at this estate, which is now a museum. So I just learned about it last week. Sure. I can't wait to check it out.
And for our movie expert in residence here, Anastasia, you should definitely you should check out 10 Chimneys. I hear I want to take my wife there one of these days.
Check out the location, or is there also
a film? It's like a tour. No, it's a house, right? Yeah, and that's where Joan Fontaine and her husband or partner, he was also in the filmmaking industry, correct?
Yeah, they were Broadway stars, the biggest stars in the world.
That's what it was.
They would bring people here to Southeast Wisconsin to their estate, and it's a museum now. It's supposed to be really cool.
That's what I heard. So, yeah, we definitely want to check that out. So, but, you know, your show is about kind of all things Wisconsin, kind of like what my show is like, all things Waukesha. And I've noticed, I've lived in many places, and one thing I know about, there is kind of a Wisconsin state of mind that's almost universal, like throughout the state. There's a kind of a common culture. Obviously, there's the brandy old-fashioned and the cheese curds. But why do you think that is, Pete? Whereas other states can be very regionalized.
Boy, that's a good question. You kind of put me on the spot here pretty early, Don.
Sure.
I don't know. Wisconsin is a really, it is a unique place. It's very quirky. I'm a transplant, but what I've fallen in love with is kind of the sense of humor that people have. They're pretty self-deprecating, and they definitely like their old fashions and their cheese curds. So, I would totally agree with you there.
Yeah, no doubt. And so,
brandy old fashioned though.
Brandy old fashioned. Yeah, not just old fashioned.
It's funny. I just started actually appreciating old fashions and everywhere else except Wisconsin.
You didn't get those down in Georgia and Memphis.
But it's whiskey.
Right.
It's bourbon or whiskey. Yep. This is the only place with brandy.
Sure. Yeah. Pete, can you stick around after can you stick around after we make these important community messages? Do you have a couple minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So stick around. More to talk about with the Swartz brothers and with Pete Schwaba of Nightlight here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK. Do not go away.
My world around you. I'm blessed the day I found you.
I'll stay beside you. I'll never leave or tell you all those lies that you never believe.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha, and we played this song last week, and to these Waukesha natives, Julia and Billy Swartz, see if you can recognize the band. The vocal should give it away.
This ain't my area, Billy. It's all you.
If I tell you where these guys are from, you'll know. Tell you what, they used to record albums when back in the dark days of Waukesha downtown, maybe the early 90s. Yeah, Bodine's.
Oh, right. I love the
this is their Christmas
now.
Song, Christmas time, yeah.
I saw the Bodine's in concert in high school.
Nice. But they
Speak about Main Street. And
yeah. Anya, have you been to Mountaintop Cafe yet on Main Street?
I have not.
That's the great story. In fact, I'll be there after the show meeting small business champion and realtor Troy Thiel, and he's meeting a local city planning expert named Michael Stump. So I'll get to meet for the first time. So I'll be at Mountaintop further down on Main, a few doors down from People's Park. Was back when that was a boarded up building. It was the landlords would rent it out to bands like the Bodines because it was space and they could make a recording studio out of it, and that's where some of the Bodine's best stuff was made, including other bands.
That's awesome.
So
my dad, a long time sixth grade teacher, and he had one of the Bodine's in class.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's neat.
He had a lot of
Sam Milanis, I think.
Yep.
Was that it?
I think so.
So very cool. All right, and Pete Schwabe, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Were you a big Bodine's fan, Pete?
I was. I actually, it's funny, I discovered that song probably about 20 years ago, and it's actually one of my favorite Christmas songs by like a rock band.
It's really well done, yeah.
I made a film about 20 years ago or a little less called The Godfather of Green Bay, and
that's right.
The Bodines were one of my favorite bands. And I reached out and got in contact with Kurt Newman of the band, and he ended up writing a score for the movie. And gave me a lot of Bodine songs to use.
Nice.
So I've sort of become friends with Kurt. And big fan. Love the Bodine.
That's great. That's great. Now, Pete, just like Julian, you had traveled to seek your professional success and fortune. I know you did stand-up comedy. You did some acting. And you've also done some radio down in L.A. Is that correct?
I didn't do radio out there. When
okay.
I was in L.A., I was primarily a... stand-up and a writer.
Writer, that's it.
Fortunate to have some. I enjoyed it. I wrote primarily movies, but also some TV. I wrote on a TV show called Sports Soup, where we would sit in a room and watch sports and write jokes about it. It was one of the best jobs I ever had in my life.
That's
and
very cool.
Perform sketches. It was really fun. Yeah.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I lived out there for about 14 years and wrote some movies, wrote some TV, and I enjoyed the warm weather. I heard you guys talking about that too. I become a wimp pretty fast about winter when you live in a warm climate for a period of time.
Sure. Now, are you living in Green Bay, or are you back at Marinette near the family?
I'm north of Green Bay, closer to Marinette. So it's and I
not
broadcast my show out of Green Bay. So yeah, I commute back and forth, which
fantastic.
Just avoid the deer, and other than that, it's not a bad commute at all. Yeah.
Now, Pete had me as a surprise guest on his show, and that was a lot of fun. And the show we mentioned that we, what should we say, a mutual acquaintance, or I have a history with the Schwabe family that Pete didn't know about.
I did not. Yeah, my sister Julie, you guys both worked in Evanston at a restaurant. Was it the Davis Street?
It was a restaurant group called the Clean Plate Club, and it was four conceptually unique restaurants. And the first restaurant was the Davis Street Fish Market, which was Chicagoland's successful attempt at Cajun, like New Orleans style seafood. It was a really fun place. Like, there was no menu. The menu was a big chalkboard, different chalkboards, because the fish was coming in fresh daily. And they took, like, there was an actual retail fish market in the front as you walked in near the bar, and they would cut out fish paper, and that became the tablecloth. The servers all had, like, shorts and, running shoes and the T-shirts on the back. You know, it's a Davis Street fish market in the front, but on the back it had, like, a picture of an old guy carrying a big crate of crabs, and it says, forget about the meatloaf, Mama. I'm coming home with the crabs. And there would be an hour wait for dinner, like, even on a Monday night. It was such a great place, and it was so much Friday nights.
That was the first place. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, my wife and I went there at Julie's urging for lobster, and all I'd ever had to that point was lobster tail. So we get there, and they put this full lobster on the plate, and I'm like, I kind of didn't even know how to go about it. It's like a little overwhelming.
Sure.
Like, what parts of this do we eat? But it was a great atmosphere and a really fun place. Yeah,
it sure was. Yeah. And the other places, there was the place that I kind of cut my teeth was a place called Tommy Nevin's Pub, or most people knew it as Nevin's Pub. And it was the first Irish pub concept that wasn't in an urban Irish neighborhood. Evanston's urban, it's where Northwestern is, but it wasn't like in an Irish neighborhood. And we had like Irish or Irish American staff. We had Perfect Pint of Guinness. We sold the most Guinness in the state of Illinois, and it was really great. We'd have traditional music on Sundays, and on St. Patrick's Day, when there'd be a line out the door, the owner would come out with a bottle of Paddy, which you couldn't get in the U.S. at the time, and he'd have little plastic shot cups on a tray, and he'd pour the Paddy, and he'd give it to people while they're waiting in line in the cold. It's like, there were just so many great touches. We also had a barbecue place and a New York-style jazz steakhouse that had live jazz every night. So it was really great. If the owner hadn't died in 95, I'd probably still be working for him. It was a real impresario. And so you got to meet people, colorful people like Julie Schwabe and now her brother Pete. So it's like that experience is a gift that still keeps giving. So, and Julie's back in Wisconsin too, right? After a time in L.A.?
She is. I was just going to say, she went out to L.A., a few years after we did, lived right by us. And then we came back to Wisconsin about 10 years ago. And then Julie came back about, 4 or 5 years ago. And now she lives really close to us, too.
That's great.
So, it's fun. And
sounds good.
You can't put a price on being close to family,
Well, Pete Schwabe, I can't wait to catch more of your show Monday through Fridays, 8 to 10 p.m. And think about putting the Swartz brothers on your show one of these nights. They're a big part of Wisconsin
history.
8
to 10 p.m. is more my time.
Not since
this year, yeah. This 7 to 9 is early for me this year.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. You got to come back on, Don. It was fun.
It sure was. Yeah, let's do it again soon. And Pete Schwabe for Nightlight, thanks for calling in, and looking forward to hearing more great things on your show Monday through Fridays here on WAUK 101 FM 8 to 10, Monday through Friday. Thanks again, Pete. How much time we have before our...
Buddy. Thanks,
so we got 1 minute left, and when we come back from these important messages, we've got another full hour to spend with the Swartz brothers and a lot more to unpack about growing up here in Waukesha, your parents' influence on you, and as well as a progress report on Morgan Schwartz, Billy's son, who's recovering from an ankle injury suffered in the New Berlin West game. And some great Christmas shopping tips, too, as well as some more community news from the city, and including a federal complaint that was recently filed. So lots to unpack here in the second hour of This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 101.1 FM 540 AM. Do not go away. Look the stranger in the eye.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Menards is celebrating Ryan Blaney's NASCAR championship with 12% off everything. Spider products produce innovative power tool accessories. Their 13-piece hole saw kit cuts through wood and metal, featuring rapid core eject arbor system, releasing the core of your cut with the push of a button. The 13-piece kit is now on sale for $44.99 after 12% off. Hurry in before Christmas Day. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. Sorry, no price adjustments. See store for details.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.